Today we will continue to talk about the book of John. So now you ask, why did the Lord of Lords allow himself to be under the charge of the world? Actually, one truth to be brought out is our Lord's kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven means God's will must be done and God's people must repent and turn to God. Our Lord has come to this world for the sake of his kingdom, and he suffered and resurrected for the sake of his kingdom. And so he will also ascend to heaven, and when the time comes he will receive all his people and bring them to the kingdom of heaven. So what the Lord wants and what the people of the world wants is completely different. Because people of the world, when they live on earth, they only live for one purpose, and that is for the earth. And they compete and fight with each other. And some people, they just lead a meaningless life. And whatever they do, the people of the world, they just want to receive the kingdom of this world. And they are afraid that they cannot get what the kingdom of the world can give them, whether it's status, power, money, fame, name. So whether it's the worldly king or presidents or the common folks of the world, they are the same. They strive for this earthly kingdom, and they are bound by the machineries of this world, and they didn't know why they are worried or fearful, or why they have to labor so much every day, and why do they feel helpless. Actually, the most important reason is you have to ask yourself, what is it you want to receive? And for what are you fighting? And so if you are very upright, you will know that your fear, your worries, your helplessness didn't come from elsewhere, but it come because you want to receive or gain the kingdom of this world. And we know that in this world, it is being controlled by the forces of Satan and forces of darkness. And through the forces of darkness, they want to bound people's heart. And so when you want to strive only for the kingdom of this world, you will not have peace. Today you have this world or this kingdom. Tomorrow this kingdom will be taken away by others. And today, for the sake of this kingdom, you harm others. Tomorrow, other people will harm you for the sake of this kingdom. And so when we strive for the kingdom of this world, we thought it's very normal because everyone does that, but you don't know that this is in fact the way by which the kingdom of the air controlled us. And so our kingdom is not of this world. We are the same as our Lord. We are born to this earth, although we are dead in our transgressions and sins, but God already had his plan. And we are different from the people of the world. We are people who will be saved, and we have a mission to complete. And after completing our mission, we will go back to heaven. And so from here, you will know that every morning when you wake up, when you open your eyes and you look at all activities on earth, you look at all the workings of the world, and you read the news of the world, and when you get into your office and you see how everyone works hard, and they are like the slaves of the world, and at that time you must clearly tell yourself that my kingdom is not of this world, but it is the kingdom of heaven. And so some people will say, so if our kingdom is of heaven and not the earth, then we don't have to work and we just shut ourselves in our rooms and pray to wait for God to return. Of course, that's not the case. Our Lord indeed tells us that you belong to heaven, but I have put you on earth. And so on earth, you do everything. You eat, you drink, you do everything. And for the sake of what? For the purpose of glorifying the Lord. Although you're on earth, you must set your minds on things above. And so in heaven, there is Christ seated at the right hand of the throne, and over there, there is the will of God. Over there, there is the authority of God, and God is still in control of everything. And so, you do everything on earth, but you must seek the glory of God. You must seek the will of God in all you're doing. In doing everything, you must seek God's help and power and purpose. And so eventually, you need to give God all the glory. So in everything on earth, even the smallest things, if you do it in the name of the Lord, you will be rewarded. But you must remember that on earth, there's no other value. Because Christ will come again. Because Christ wants to reward His people. So many things which you deem as glorious on earth, you must ask yourself again. You want to receive all those things for what purpose? What has it got to do with the kingdom of God if you receive all these things? So you must know that the labor of your life will follow you. The fruit of your labor for your whole life will follow you. And if it's worthwhile, eternal rewards will await you. But if this is not the case, you have to ask yourself, then what's the purpose of your time and your youth? And why did God give you your talent? Now, every week or every month, God gave you salary for what purpose? So in this world, people pursue the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of this life, boasting of this life. The Bible tells us that all this will pass away. Only those who do the will of God, and that also means those who seek the kingdom of God in doing everything, then whatever they do will remain forever. Now, frankly speaking, many Christians today have no peace. When the pandemic comes, they are afraid of this and that. They shut themselves at home. They did not even dare to go to church. And every word from their mouth is the same as what they hear from the news. So, in fact, their mouths should proclaim the Lord and the promises of the Lord. And they should see the presence of the Lord. They should give beautiful testimonies to comfort and help people around them. But why are Christians unable to say those things? Because they know that even in you yourself, you do not have the peace of God. And so when you do not have the peace of God, how can you bluff yourself to preach the message of peace? And you do not have peace not because you are timid, but because what you seek in your heart are things on earth. So this is not a matter of courage. It's not because you lack courage and that's why you lack peace, but it has got to do with your life direction and the purpose of your living. And so when you hear such message, you must think of what God has said. For those of you who want to preserve your life, you will lose life on earth, but for the sake of the Lord, if you are willing to lose your life, eventually you will receive life. So if you want to live for yourself and live for the kingdom of the world, eventually you will lose everything. Just like the Lot mentioned in the Bible. Lot had very wonderful plans that he made for himself, but eventually he lost everything. And he became the ancestor to Gentiles. So it's a shameful thing for Lot. So dear brothers and sisters, if you have lived long enough, you know that the world will not exist for you. Even if you become the manager or the director in the company, if your company restructure a little bit, they will not need you anymore and you become obsolete. Some people, they lift you up and suddenly situation changes, then you lose everything. So in our life, we must be wise people. After going through a few times of such failures, you must ask yourself, for what am I striving for? What can remain? If you live for your children, and you realize that one day when they grow old, they will leave you because they have their own lives. I'm not saying that family and children are not important, but you must ask yourself, for what reason are you raising your children? If you raise your children for the kingdom, for eternal things, then your child rearing will be remembered. and your life will be fruitful. In future, when your children grow up, they will love the Lord even more than you. The mission which you cannot accomplish, your children can fulfill for you. So when we live on earth, but if we do not have the truth, we cannot understand all these things. We cannot see the invisible things. We only look after and go after things that our hands can touch and our eyes can see. And eventually, you realize that it's all in vain and you will be full of regrets. And so we must not wait till we are aged, then we understand certain things. But today when we read the Word of God, from the Word of God, we must confirm again what exactly will remain forever. We need to spread the grace which God has given us and preserve it and pass it on to the next generation. So today let's read from the book of John, chapter 18. And he was being questioned by Pilate. In verse 28, then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. Now these Jews and those who followed the Jewish leaders, they are religious people. They are legalists. So religious people and legalists, they are the most hypocritical. They are worse than robbers. At least the robbers will claim that I'm the robber, I want to rob you. But these people who are legalists, their idea is, now there are Gentiles, we cannot be near the Gentiles because Passover was near, and we must not be near the Gentiles because they wanted to partake the feast of Passover. Now, is that holiness? Right now, Jesus had no sin, but these people wanted to put him to death out of their own selfish desires, and they have such evil intents, and now they went to the palace. And then they want to avoid entering the palace, so they are hypocritical. They want to frame an innocent person, and yet they pretend to be clean. So this is the scary part of religious people. In verse 29, and so Pilate appeared. Verse 29, he's not a great man. He's the most terrible man. And so Apostle Creed always mentioned that Jesus suffered under his hands. So Pilate, he killed many and he robbed many. And so this person, you don't need to think of receiving any benefits from such a person. But now Jesus was brought before him. And so Pilate came out to them and asked, what charges are you bringing against this man? If he were not a criminal, they replied, we would not have handed him over to you. And so from here, we know that all these Jews, they couldn't identify any charge against Jesus. And now Pilate asked about Jesus' charge. So they were just evasive, and they just trying to say, if he's not a criminal, we will not hand him over to you. Verse 31, Pilate said, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone, the Jews objected. Now the Jews, according to their laws, because now they are under the rule of the Romans, so they have to go through the sentences of the Romans. So from history, we know that under certain circumstances, they could still judge by their own Jewish law. For example, things concerning adultery, then you can stone the adulterer to death. But our Lord Jesus will not die by the stones, because the Bible told us that the Son of Man will be lifted up. So Jesus cannot die by stoning. So he had to die on the cross and shed his blood for his people and be lifted up and be shamed by the people of the world. And he will seem very shameful, but in fact, he is bearing all the sins of us people. And so, the people wanted to bring Jesus and sentence him to death and crucify him. So they had this thought. And so verse 32 said, this happened so that the words Jesus has spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. And so in verse 30, Pilate asked, what crime did he commit? Actually, it's verse 29. And so the Jews, they fabricate certain things. If you look at Luke, you will realize what the Jews replied. So the Jews mentioned that he deceived people and he forbidden people to pay tax to Caesar. In fact, Jesus didn't do that. He asked people to give Caesar what belongs to Caesar's and give to God what belongs to God. And so the Jews also mentioned that Jesus said that he is the king. So the Jews are very good at fabricating lies. And then they will turn all those fabricated things into charges against Jesus. So when we read the Bible, when we live in the world, we know that this is one kind of evil means of mankind to frame people. So you need to understand that half-truths are not truths. So we must be wise people. And then verse 33, Pilate then went back inside the palace. So there's this portion which was not recorded in John. So Pilate, he knew that King Herod happened to be near his place. So in verse 32, Pilate sent Jesus to King Herod. So those accusers all followed Jesus to King Herod. So King Herod was very curious, but Jesus didn't answer King Herod one word. Because King Herod is like a traitor of the Jews to oppress the people of God. And so because King Herod couldn't get anything out of Jesus, now he sent Jesus back to Pilate. In fact, Pilate and Herod, they used to be enemies, but later because of Jesus, they became allies. And so when evil people do evil together, they become allies. So they oppress the good person. And then verse 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Very likely, Pilate already knew. Pilate have seen a lot of protests and riots. If you say that you instigate the people not to pay tax and so on. And so, when Pilate look at Jesus, he think that Jesus don't look like a protester or a rebel, because Jesus didn't say anything. It's like a sheep being led to be slaughtered. There's no tinge of violence in Jesus. And so, Pilate asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Or do you self-profess this? And verse 34, is that your own idea, Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Now, this is a very interesting question. What kind of king are you referring to? Is it the king of the Jews? Because in the mind of Pilate, he only knew what is a political king. Because he is a politician, so what he values is the earthly authority. So are you referring to this kind of king? Or are you referring to what the Jews mention as the Messiah, Christ? If you are referring to political king, I am not. I'm not interested in this kingdom. I'm not what you think that I'm coming here to fight for earthly power. But if you say that I am the one who came from heaven to save his people, then yes, I'm that kind of king. So is this your idea or the others talk to you about me? So now we can see many politicians in this earth today, they also learn to use Jesus' name to get earthly power. They will say, I am Christian, I support Christianity, so they want to get the votes of Christians. But in fact, what they want to gain is not the salvation which Christ brought them. So if you want to build the kingdom of this world, many powerful people, they will make use of Jesus' name. Or if they can no longer make use of Jesus' name, they will reject this name. So people of the world are really the enemies of God. They go against God and make use of his name. So, verse 35, am I a Jew? Pilate replied, it was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done? What Pilate was very much focused on was what? Are you a rebel? Are you trying to overturn Rome? So what is it you are doing? What is it you have done that your people handed you over to me? Now, if Jesus were to answer, Jesus can reply many things. He can say that I make the lame walk, I make the blind see, I make the dead come to life, I fed 5,000 people who are hungry. All these things are the great deeds of our Lord Jesus in the 3.5 years. These are things that no one had done in Israel, and no politicians can do such beneficial things for the people. But what I want to mention is someone who is only focused on earthly power and earthly things, they will surely not see the great deeds of our Lord. So sometimes when God's works are before our eyes, it is not because God has not worked, but our eyes are focused on earthly things, and so we cannot see God's great deeds because we are only concerned about earthly things. And so our Lord's reply is very classic. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So Pilate mentioned in verse 35, am I a Jew? But it was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done? And so suddenly Jesus mentioned this very important thing. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now, my kingdom is from another place. So dear brothers and sisters, when we read this verse, we must ask, the kingdom of this world, how is it different from the kingdom of heaven? So I'll raise 3 simple points. The kingdom of this world and the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of the world is man-centric. Your will must be done and the other person's will must be done. And so what's the result? There'll be fights and mutual strife. So the kingdom of this world is full of such struggles, power struggle. And so huge empire will be raised up, will rise, and they will also fall. And great kings will emerge, and they will also fall away. So these are all man-centric. And so eventually, humans will be destroyed because of his own desire and will. How about the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is centered on God's will. So the kingdom of heaven is God-centric. And so God's will stand forever. It will surely be fulfilled. So now our Lord Jesus is going up to the cross right now. That is the will of God. And therefore, you must know, this kingdom of heaven will not be overthrown. God's will cannot be overthrown. Now, which king on earth can say, what I want to do will be done? Which king can say that? Which king can say that my will certainly, surely be done? No one can say that. Whether it's the most powerful person on earth, if God wants to bring him down, he will have to come down. If God wants to make him ill, he'll be ill. If God wants him to die, he will die. So it's all, so God-centric and man-centric are different. Man-centric, it appears as if man is very great, but eventually man still fail and it will still appear to be weak. The greatest king in the Old Testament, our King David, he may have done well in 90% of the areas, but the Bible deliberately records his sin. So the Bible wants to record also that among humans, there is no perfect king. The true King of Kings, the one who never fails, the greatest and highest wisdom, and no one can overcome this king, and this king is none other than our Lord Jesus. So the theme of the Bible is that God's will, the kingdom of heaven, will surely be fulfilled. And so what did our Lord say? If my kingdom is of this world, my servants will fight. My angels, my leagues of angels will not hand me over to you. So you must understand that today, every will of God is fulfilled because the forces and the power of angels are behind the scene. Every stroke of God's word will be fulfilled. And second, what is different? The kingdom of this world is, because humans are about the same, but in order to rule over other humans, I need to use very tough tactics and methods. I need to use high-handed ways. And so when humans want to get the kingdom of this world, he will reveal his self-exaltation, his dominance, his military power, financial power. And you look at nations. Which nation have a greater military power and air force and so on? They can speak louder. And who has nuclear weapons? They appear stronger. So we always mention, you know, this nation or country is flexing its muscle to showcase his power. I don't have to attack you, but my aircraft carrier or my battleship, just get near you. You know what I can get. You know what I can do to you. So when China brought all their airplanes and forces to the seas near Taiwan, they want to show Taiwan, you know, what they can do to them. So people of the world, they use oppression, but our Lord Jesus, he did it by sacrifice, his grace, his self-giving. And what does this bring about? This bring about the human hearts willingly want to submit to him. And so Jesus win over human hearts. And so we are born again, we are transformed, and we love God with zeal. And that's how God win over his people. And that's how God win over his kingdom. One is by oppression and control. The other is by attraction. And he will fill you so that you will quickly run to follow him. So is there a difference? So why do you listen to sermon? Because every time when you listen to the sermon, the kingdom of God come upon you. You see God's greatness, God's mercy, and in your heart, you'll be liberated from a lot of your bondage and bondages and selfish desires, and you will just run to follow the Lord. That's the way of the kingdom of God. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. So between the kingdom of God and kingdom of the world, which one do you want? If you didn't experience that, that's because you have been hearing the voice of the world every day, and so you pursue the kingdom of the world. And so your whole person is being bound by selfish desires, and there's many things you cannot let go of. But when the kingdom of God comes, you can commit everything to the Lord, and you can have a peaceful sleep at night. And third, the kingdom of the world is just very temporal, but the kingdom of God is eternal. So the great empire of this world, where is Egypt, Babylon, where is Greece, Assyria, and Rome? And today, the great empire is USA and China. Now, every country is looking at the two great powers because our economy depends on them. So everyone is focused on the great empires of this world. So you know there are certain earthly powers that is being brought, and so the policies and strategies brought out by the great nations will make other people feel small. But you must know that all this will also pass away. Maybe your next generation and your next generations, you will not see USA or China. Or maybe in our generations, we will not see anymore. It is also possible. Now, Singapore, we are a very small nation. We have to ask, what is Singapore? In the entire human history, we only have a short few decades. And then we, Singapore, we are very prosperous, and we are Singaporeans, and we feel proud. But from the point when I know, from the time when I know the gospel, I know that we can be at the center of history and to live in Singapore. And God preserved this nation of Singapore for what purpose? God watches over this country, Singapore, is because at this point in history, in this land, we have the freedom, we have the prosperity, and more importantly, through this things, through the education and so on, so that Church of God can be raised up, so that God's people can learn His Word, can preach the Gospel in a free environment to save God's people. And so this has happened for decades. And you ask, how long can this last? No one knows. In this world, everybody wants to survive. Not many countries can survive for 100 years in this world. So we have to understand. It's all meaningful only because of the kingdom of God. If it's not for the Church of God, then this country will have no purpose. Recently, China celebrated the communist anniversary. So I talked to my brethren in China. Now, communism has nothing to be proud of because they are without God. So, since the Qing dynasty, we saw a lot of struggles. But now, God gave China the strength financially and in all areas, so that Chinese people are scattered around the whole world. They went to America, to Europe, to Singapore. So after they are liberated in their ideologies, they come to know the gospel. And they are hungry for the gospel. And they will bring the gospel back to their family in China. A few sisters from China who came to our church, after they went back to China, they wanted to preach to their husband. So for us who live in the Western country, we are not so amazed by the gospel, but when the people of China heard the gospel, they are so amazed and drawn to it. So you must ask, why God made China stabilized? So now when gospel is being brought to China, now the political powers in China is very oppressive. They really want to go against the gospel, penetrating the country. Now, if China resists the gospel being brought back to China itself, then there's a very little purpose for this political power to remain in that country. Now, if certain political powers suddenly are shaken, you must ask, what is it because of? Because behind the scene, there is the hands of God. In the past, Soviet Union suddenly collapsed. So, in the human eyes, we think that it seems to us that it suddenly happened. But actually, God is waiting. In a nation that keep oppressing the gospel, it will not last long. So we must not look at humans' external factor, but we know the spiritual truth, and we know what is God doing, what is He waiting for, looking at, and for what purpose. Now, what God wants to fulfill, He will fulfill, and after that, sinners will be dealt with by God. So we must be very clear that the kingdom of God is one where God's will stand, and by the blood of God, He redeemed His people so that His people will follow Him willingly and love Him. And God's kingdom is also eternal. And so if it's eternal, then it's related to the salvation of human souls. So even if man earns the whole world but loses his soul, what good is it? So if you understand this, then you know that for your whole life, what kind of kingdom should you go after? If you seek the kind of kingdom that has a lot of strife with people, eventually you'll be shamed and full of regrets. If people of the world, they're afraid of losing, you're also afraid of losing, then your heavenly reward is very little. Our path of sanctification is to treat lightly the earthly things. Now, our church, we have four overseers in the church, and we all serve God full-time before we are age 40. So when my children look at me, I was a full-timer when I was age 26. So when they are born, their father is already a full-time servant of God. Of course, I cannot say much, but to serve full-time is related to God's calling, but it has to come together with human prayers. If we are only serving God when we are old, we need to think that, you know, sometimes when we serve God when we are young, we fail a few times, we have certain setbacks, it's all right. But if you love the Lord and you're called by God, God will preserve you. And for 10 years, 20 years, when you serve God in this way, you will see that in your lifetime, when you're at your strongest, when your eyes are the sharpest, when your mind is the most alert and you use it on the kingdom of God, you'll be different. When you reach 50, 60, 70 years old, you'll be different. But now if you say you're in your 50s or 60s, it's still not too late. Sometimes when we keep working in the world, you have to ask yourself, what's the purpose of your work? Up to a point, you don't need to seek promotions and all this will be meaningless. Because if you go after all these things and all these things even stop you from coming to church, then with what can you bring to see the Lord in future? So some things you need to put down because they are temporal. In Singapore, you will not die from hunger. But do not be lazy. You must do what you need to do. But do not pursue the kingdom of this world because of your selfish desires, because eventually you realize what you receive will all be lost. We have eternity, so we must be very clear about this. And so Pilate didn't understand this, and so it's pointless to talk to him about this. So Pilate will kill anyone who's trying to steal his kingdom from his hands. So Jesus told him that, you know, my kingdom is from another place. So Pilate is very comforted that Jesus is not snatching his kingdom from him. And then as we read on, we will note other interesting things. And so when the king of the world and the king of heaven, they are talking, the king of the world cannot catch up with the king of heaven. And verse 37, "You are a king then," said Pilate. It's like very sarcastic. In fact, Jesus is not just a king, but the King of Kings. And Jesus answered, "You are right in saying, I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." So suddenly Jesus mentioned truth, because the kingdom is related very much to truth. So, for truth I was born, and I testify to the truth. And so Pilate mentioned this thing very interesting. He asked, "What is truth?" Pilate asked. Now, people of the world have been asking this: what is truth? So we must first understand, why is it that God's invisible world is related to the truth? Now, everyone who have departed from the kingdom of God, we are born to the kingdom of this world. We are all born in lies. And we also live in lies. We totally cannot understand what is the invisible world and things which are unseen. So when we live on earth, you know, what we can see, we think it is there. What we cannot see, then we think it is not there. What we feel, then we go by our feeling. So people who do not know the truth are all like this. So the one who is born for the truth, and he is God himself, and he knew that there is eternity. He knew where humans come from and where humans will be going to. And this is what humans most needed to know. But no humans who is born to this world know this truth. They are only aware of their own philosophy and science. And so, the word who became flesh, he testified to the truth. And he tells you through the truth. You must know the true God of the whole universe. And through the truth, you need to know eternity. You need to know yourself by the truth. You know the world by the truth. You know sin by the truth. And from the truth, you know demons. You know everything of this world. So you need to know by the truth. Only when you know it, then you will not be muddled, hated. Now, on this earth, there is no foolish person, only persons who do not know the truth. Let me say it again. On earth, there is no one who is foolish, only those who do not know the truth. So now, in the heart of Pilate, he asked, "What is the truth?" Pilate may think that military power or money, it is the truth. Now my position, my political power, that is the truth. So people just think like this. So those money lovers, they will see money as the truth. Those who go for abortion, now, people nowadays always emphasize family planning and human rights. Yesterday, I talked about homosexuality. So homosexual just think that what I love in my heart, that is the truth. I don't care if it's, whether it's a man or woman. So all their problems are they treat what is not truth as the truth. And they believe those untruths and they follow it. And that's the most severe problem. And so eventually, in the postmodernist era, then people will say there's no truth. What you say is right. What he say is also correct. There's no absolute correctness. Everything is right as long as you don't harm others. So that's how the world is so scary right now. Now, this era is always changing, and there's always new things that emerge, new culture, new feelings, and people treat those things as the truth and what is right. But if you are like Pilate, you are the most pitiful. Because Pilate, he used his earthly power. In fact, right now, he's the governor in Israel. He had the highest power, and yet he used his highest power. He crucified the most glorious Lord. This will bring about his own judgment and make his name stink for thousands of years. So every time when we recite the Apostle Creed, we will read that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. Although this is by the will of God, but through the hands of which sinners? It is by the hands of Pilate. And so the more glorious Jesus is, all these people like Pilate, they will be more shameful. So if you don't know and abide by the truth, and you abolish the truth, eventually your name will stink for thousands of years. So our Lord's name will not fail. The name of our Lord will continue to be lifted up. So let me say again. For example, now many believers in China, they are being obstructed when they want to view or get in touch with Christian sermons. And many Christians are being oppressed. Now we are only viewing things in a few years' time. And now these people with high power, they do all these things in future, in the next 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, when our Lord triumph, then people will question. Many Christians will suffer at which leader's hand? It's not just the name, it's not just the bad name that God gave to the bad leaders, but the books of history will also give the bad name to those leaders. You can say that they are vicious, they are foolish, but in one word, it's because they do not know the truth. So truth is so important. If you do not know the truth and you go by your feeling, it wouldn't do. So ask yourself, do you want to go by your feeling or by the truth? Do you want to seek the truth or you want to be like Pilate, just asking what is the truth? Even when Jesus was standing trial, he also used God's word to speak into Pilate's heart. Now, verse 38, with this, he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? Now, Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. He's trying to tell the Jews that you have no basis for your charge. But so he mentioned this custom. Now during Passover, we always set one prisoner free for you. Do you want me to release him? Actually, Pilate's own conscience knew that Jesus was innocent, but he's afraid of the pressure of the crowd. So he's not firm. Now, those people whom Satan always use, other than very severe evildoer, Satan like to use people with weak conscience. They knew the truth, but they don't abide by the truth. So many a times I prayed before the Lord, Lord, please do not abandon me. Especially, Lord, help me in my life, not because of my fear toward men. Do not let me go against my conscience. Certain things you have already told me through the truth, what is right and what is wrong, but make me not be afraid to speak because of my fear for men, and make me not compromise, because otherwise in future when I see you, I will have an accused conscience. So we pastors, we need to guard our heart, and because we live before all men. But we have a heart because we also live before God. So we really need to be honest with ourselves. So we must not act against our conscience. In verse 40, so they shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now, Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. So in the eyes of the Jews and the Romans, Barabbas, he is a very terrible man. He's destined to be crucified at first. But in fact, right now, Jesus took over the place of the cross which the Romans originally prepared for Barabbas. So when you read this, do not just remain here. You must ask, why is there such injustice? Because our Lord is bearing our punishment on our behalf. Before the righteous God, we are all like Barabbas. We should be sentenced and judged. Now, the punishment which was originally preserved for us is now handed over to Jesus. And so he carried the cross which we should have gone through or carried. May we receive the word of God and let's pray. Lord, we thank you. When you stood trial before Pilate, now this incident is impressed upon our hearts today. Lord, please crush our human pride, our selfishness, and bring us to your kingdom. Lord, you know it's not easy for us to live on earth. There's a lot of temptations and there's a lot of worries and concerns that always pull us back. But Lord, please help us through today's word that even if we earn the whole world but we lose our soul, it's such a loss. Those of us who want to hold on to our life, we will lose the life. But those of us who lose our life for the sake of Christ, our lives will be saved. May we all be awakened by your word. And we thank you and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.